We would like to advise that the following program may contain adult themes, occasional nudity, and language that may offend some listeners.
Thank God it's... Thank God it's...
And welcome to Studio 222 at the ABC in Ultimo for another edition of Thank God It's Friday. I'm Richard Glover, and please welcome this week's gang. It's Tommy Dean, Mandy Nolan, and Colin Buchanan. And with the music, it is Mitch Tambo and Regan Derry, who are absolutely just ready to fire with their great version of an Aussie classic. You'll hear that in a second. But can we first make sure you three are up with this week's news?
Please do.
Who reckons we've made a suboptimal deal? As you can see, I was particularly pleased with that. Particularly pleased.
That's right. Let's just say that when he wrote that question, his periscope went up. He could see it all from there. Oh, yeah. Dive. Okay, so what we're talking about, of course, is the AUKUS submarine deal. Yeah. And I like to remind everyone that the reason it's called AUKUS is because if you put the U.S. first, where we traditionally would belong, and then the U.K., and then Australia, the acronym would be USUCA.
That's so much better.
Let's just go straight to the 6 o'clock news, shall we?
But they're just like, you know what? Let's put Australia first. They're going to be the ones driving them. AUKUS.
It's like the Australian Film and Television School. If you put it the wrong way around, you get AFARTS.
Yeah, it's no good. No good at all. The reason is the Screen Actors Guild. You got to get it right. But in this particular case, what we're talking about is former Prime Minister Paul Keating has taken great exception to this deal, labeling it the worst deal of all time ever in the history of deals.
No. The worst deal since 1916.
What? He put a limit on it? So you're saying there were worse deals?
Yeah, it was the worst deal was 1916 because Labor tried to introduce conscription and failed.
He
said that was worse.
That is worse.
It's
good
the,
point,
it's
Paul,
the most amount of money Australia's ever spent online shopping to another country.
It's stunning. It's stunning.
Yeah, $368 billion.
And it's weird to focus that much money. Like if somebody said to you, hey, Mandy, I'm going to give you $368 billion. What do you want? I want a submarine. What else? Yeah. Nope, that's all.
Can you imagine them waiting for it to arrive, like at the door? Like you got, I just don't know how they deliver that. Like it's 2030 that they deliver it. Like is it like when you get a car, has a big ribbon on it? Is it? You know, you can't see.
Yeah, but
them.
Before that, MasterCard's going to ring up and says there's unusual activity on your card, Mr. Albanese.
Imagine the points. That's why they're doing it on the card.
Yeah, doing it for the points.
That's the weird part about all this, of course, is that Paul Keating has, you know, been using his Paul Keating-esque invective to, you know, sound mean and
he's got a sharp tongue.
But, you know, here's my problem. I think he used to have a very sharp tongue, and now he's starting to sound like an old man with young people on his lawn. Because I think technically it's easy if you lead with crankiness to sound like you know something more than you know. Like, for example, ask me a question. Ask me any generic question at all.
How are the twins going, Tommy?
Why would you ask me that? Am I in a circus? I feel like I'm in a circus because I'm surrounded by clowns.
That's good.
He's good, isn't he?
That is good.
Are you a nincompoop?
I think you're right. He had some sharp lines, didn't he, in the 90s? I think calling old men calling females, young women, dumb, I don't think quite is the same level as he had in his prime.
It's easy to say that's stupid without offering anything else.
It is, but it is kind of stupid when you consider, I think China currently has something like 56 submarines. Mm-hmm. I think we've got a couple somewhere. Like, we're going to have to get the L plates out because I don't know who's going to be driving the submarines. And it is because it's so late.
Well, also, they'll be left-hand drive, won't they?
It will be the wrong drive. I've never thought of that.
It's so confusing when you drive on the
term they use is driving.
Wrong side of the sea.
I think they drive them.
Okay, Mr. Sparty, we left-hand dive.
Oh, that's nice.
There you go. That's much better.
Yeah.
Wow, we're just flying out of it.
You brought the guitar in.
I just thought of a little tune that might just, I don't know how it goes. Well, it all started with the horse-drawn submarine.
They were newfangled underwater magic machines. The steam-powered ones came right on its toes. Two strokes seemed pretty strong until the four strokes and diesels came along. I haven't sung this song yet. But if we're honest, I would have been pretty happy with any one of those. But yeah, anyway, chorus, here it goes. But you're really not in the club unless you buy yourself a nuclear sub. It'll come in 2045 if you order today. Hey, hey, hey. Just get in there and ink the deal. And don't worry how the French guys feel, because nuclear subs just blow all the others away. That was all I got.
I love the buy today, because I think on Amazon it says only three left. And they're the three we've got,
that's
right?
That's it.
Who's hoping for a 10 out of 10 for his policy on the 10 and unders? Who's hoping for a 10 out of 10?
That'd be Dominic Perrottet, wouldn't
that would
it?
Be,
for his rebranding of an old Labor policy, as it turns out. I imagine this was giving under 10 kids...
400 bucks.
Yeah, $400. And if you put money in to that savings account up to the value of $1,000, they'll put in another $400, which could cost the Perrottet family quite a lot.
He's saying he's not partaking in it. He says the kids have already got their own little bank accounts.
I'm sure they do. I'm sure they've got their own bank accounts and they're doing quite a kill. Okay. It is like baby super. That's what they're calling it. It's like kind of super for kids, and you can only use it for education, I think, and buying a house. I mean, that's completely optimistic to think you're going to be able to buy a house, even with a $46,000 deposit in about 18 years. I mean, he's out of touch.
It's unclear to me what happens if you don't want to buy a house or be educated.
Well, what is education? it's pretty broad. Like, why can't you use that for festivals and drugs? Because for me, that was my main education.
Yeah. It's a form of education.
It is actually getting into that kind of explorative stage of mind expansion.
Well, I don't know what the tuition costs are going to be, but there will be... soon, I imagine, an explosion in Submariner courses. And they're going to need that money.
They are, because it only pays like $168,000 a year, which is not a lot to live under the water for years.
But there's nothing to spend it on down there. That's why it's just pure cash.
Why have you looked up how much Submariners have paid? Are you thinking of a career change?
I was wondering how much. I thought if you've got to spend that much on them, how much do you pay the driver? You know, because I kind of feel like, you know, you should get at least $1 billion.
Yeah.
Like, if you're driving, like, a vehicle worth 300, well, there's three of them, so maybe it's worth $100 billion each.
Yeah.
You should get paid $1 billion.
You should get some sort of percentage of the cost of the vehicle.
That is a big responsibility not to crash it into a reef or another
country. But you've also got Perrottet-level number of children, so you presumably be looking up job opportunities.
It's Periscope and Perrottet are a little bit frightening.
that's a good point.
In the fact, isn't it? Like, it's very McHale-some. Anyway, this whole kind of plan of the kind of, it's a nice kind of idea, the whole idea of saving, but it's kind of, it's a little bit 1950s. Mm-hmm. It feels like that. And it is like he's gone to like swap and sell to find a policy.
Well, I'm curious, because what I feel bad about is, you know, I was part of the baby check back in the, you know, 2000s.
Child endowment.
Is that what they called it?
Oh, no.
The baby bonus.
They have one for the country, the Costello babies.
Yeah, the baby bonus.
So I know.
And then I find out when that came out, people were like, oh, I don't know about that. We're not having babies. How come baby people should get bonuses? I was like, shut up. We're having a baby. But now I know how they feel like, because I'm like, you know, my babies are way past 10. I don't know about this policy. I don't know that I can really get behind funding this.
But what about the grandchildren? There'll be grandchildren eventually.
Possibly,
they could get the $400.
But then I started thinking, how much does it cost to adopt a child?
It really gets them.
Is there a way to work the math on this?
And the great thing is, it just keeps the wealth with the privileged, which is the idea of a lot of these policies, because there's probably a lot of families that can't find, I think it's $200 or $400. So that way, it's kind of good. It's a great way of quarantining.
Well, you do
cash.
Get $200 even if you can't afford to put in second year.
So you get to know where you stand.
Colin Buchanan, what do you reckon?
It's feeling a little like the telethon. I will donate... you know, $50 if Daryl Summers does a headstand.
That's the policy.
Yeah, that's right. Well, if he does a headstand, we'll match the $50. And it does have that. I agree, man. It's got a touch of the desperations about it. $400.
You're like me. You're a grandfather. You want to throw in the sound. That was the alarming moment where he said, and grandchildren can contribute, grandparents can contribute a full $1,000.
It'd go great.
Steady, mate.
Yeah.
I don't know how you're going to stop. Like, I would. Like, my kids, I don't know if you've done this, but I've always, like, every time if I've got to pay something with cash, and I go, I don't have any cash, I'm straight into the kids' rooms getting their cash. Like, I'd be straight into that.
That makes total sense.
Yeah, I'd be going, I
don't think they're going to store the $400 in a jam jar in their bedroom.
I don't think you know how modern banking works these days, Richard.
Can you get up to speed?
Where are you going to store the money, Mr. Perrottet? In a jar in Mandy Nolan's teenager's bedroom. That's my plan. Yeah,
but a secret place.
Under the dirty socks.
Yeah, which you won't find.
No one's ever going to find it. We have Tommy D, Mandy Nolan and Colin Buchanan. Which world leader is in the doghouse this week?
What is it about? It doesn't matter whether you run one of the world's most wealthy countries or whether you just happen to have a stray that you picked up. And, you know, it's what is it about dog owners? Am I talking to dog owners here? Am I in the minority?
Well, I'm a dog owner.
Yeah, so am I. But
I'm married to a dog owner.
Bingo. That's it.
And I have the care of my daughter, my 28-year-old Chihuahua.
Okay, so on this side of the table,
that's not a dog.
There are three non-dog owners. There are three dog victims. Well, let's call them. Yeah. And I just think you've got the know-how to buy the dog, choose a breed, chip the dog, take it to the vet when it's sick, feed it at the proper times, keep the water up, but you don't have the know-how. And this is a reference to the British Prime Minister who let the dog off the leash.
Mm. Okay, Rishi Sunak.
In Hyde Park.
Let the dog off and have to be spoken to by police.
Exactly.
He's the Prime Minister.
So, I tell you, and I mean, if he came walking in the National Park at Heathcote, he'd let the dog off the leash there too, like all those naughty people do.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Yeah, but other than that.
You can't talk to people too about that. If you go out, I've tried poaching people on the beach and I go, what I do now is I go, because I'll go, do you know you've just gone past the bit? Because they get really angry.
They do.
And then I say, there's a ranger up there. I don't want you to get fined.
Oh, nice.
Yeah,
nice.
And there's not. It's just me ringing them in.
There's a very nice piece in Bill Bryson's most recent trip around England. And he's on a lovely little nature walk. Yeah. And there's a woman in front of her, who's obviously a sort of posh local. And her dog does a poo right there on the track. And Bill says, excuse me, madam. And she looks around at him with total contempt because she's quite aristocratic, it turns out, and she just sort of pushes a few leaves over the poo, thus turning it into a submerged landmine. And I love Bill because he's got such a nice manner of writing. He's such a sunny character, and he just says, so naturally, luckily I had my walking stick, so I struck her forcibly and caused her death and pushed her body into the small creek which ran beside and went on to the next town.
Perfect.
I see. Most riders would lose their sense of courage and say, naturally, just joking. Or say, he just goes to the town.
Yeah, right. Perfect.
But you sense that undercurrent of murderousness quite a bit. Like I was on the train to work the other day, and in the morning, like a 6 a.m. train, and one of the patrons on the train was having a FaceTime conversation with her friend, and she was loud in her talking, and the friend was not on headphones, so we could hear both sides very loud. It was very loud. And as he looked around, all you could see was the faces of people who couldn't believe that their lives had led them to working this. Jobs that had to get them on a train at 6 a.m.
with these people.
And now they're listening to this conversation that was, by all definition, banal.
Yeah. And if someone had murdered them, police would have had about 50 suspects.
Yeah. We were all like eyeing each other off. Who's going to crack?
Was that the quiet under carriage? Is it the quiet carriage or was it the other
all
one?
All carriages should be quiet at 6
a.m. I agree.
On ABC Local Radio with Tommy Dean, Mandy Nolan and Colin Buchanan.
Just, Tommy. Just so you know, a lot of people don't realize this, but that was the original lyric in the Crowded House song.
Is that right?
Yeah. Everywhere you go, know which way the wind blows.
Ah.
Everywhere you go. Keep that wind right with you.
I asked listeners in Sydney whether they needed so much detail in the weather forecast about wind, because I just didn't know whether people needed this. And the answer was yes from the lady who lives at Scotland Island and gets a tinny home, and it's going to be a long journey or a short journey, depending on the motorcyclist who needs to know the wind speed. The person who's allergic to blue bottles needs to know. The person who's doing the washing needed to know. The person who's learning to fly, that's Mariana, needs to know.
Before you can call in. Keep going.
Peter says, I do long-range target rifle shooting, so the wind information is important to me. David from Owen says, kayaking on the harbour, I need wind speed, direction, and any information about whether there is a change.
Yep. And an outboard motor.
And Francis says, I'm interested in the wind because my neighbour's horse absolutely stinks. And if the wind is blowing from the north, all I can smell is his excrement. It's killing me. Signed, Bill's neighbour from Terry Hills. And from another, I like wearing skirts and dresses. In the morning, I need to know whether it will be windy, as I don't want to flash everybody my underpants by wearing the wrong dress. And
the answer, my friend, is blowing in the wind.
It's always a bit of a shock when you're carrying stuff and your skirt blows up and you've got bad undies on, like not good undies. Yeah, you've got your daggiest undies on.
That's why people need the wind report. I didn't know.
Yeah, put on your good undies. It's a big wind day.
Am I wasting people's time? The answer?
No.
Yeah. It's blowing in the wind.
The answer is blowing in the wind.
Hey, Anne has just downloaded Mitch's song, $2.19, well spent.
Oh, that's perfect.
We've got him a sale already.
Oh, that's good.
That's one down. Now, let me ask you this. With the introduction of EV cars, we're hearing a lot about range anxiety, how far we can go before we run out of juice. The truth is,
a lot of cowboys had that.
Right. Life on the range.
Apparently.
Apparently.
I just heard that. Sorry.
I've got range hood anxiety.
A lot of cooks have that.
Yeah, a lot of cooks have that.
That's right.
Why do they never work?
I've got range rover anxiety. I just don't think they're going to yield to me when I try to merge.
I happen to have road range.
Oh, yeah.
Here's my question. I think life is full of anxieties. This is only one of them. I have whipper snipper anxiety, for instance, because I can't work the thing. I have dessert anxiety since I always order the wrong thing and then feel bad about it.
How can you order the wrong dessert?
Because the other person orders better.
Oh, yeah.
And then you see hers arrive and yours is rubbish.
Are you coveting the dessert of another person?
That's in the Ten Commandments, isn't it? Number 9 or something?
Yeah, like don't covet your neighbor's dessert.
Well, that's what it says. It actually literally says, do not covet your neighbor's ass.
No. Assiette.
Sago pudding, I think, is the original Hebrew.
There's something really creepy when you've got a really good dessert and you're about to, and you can feel people looking at you, and you can feel them looking at and going, you know, it makes you self-conscious but feel kind of good at the same time that you won.
Yeah.
Like, it's not a competition, but you know you won dessert.
It is a competition.
Okay, yeah, it is.
What about the woman who doesn't order dessert and says, oh, no, not for me. No, I'm very wary of what I eat. And gets the boyfriend or the husband to order the dessert, and then his arrives, and then she says, oh, that looks nice.
The old second spoon.
And then you see...
I'll just have a spoon.
Not the second spoon. No, she leans over, takes his spoon and eats the lot. Mm.
Yeah, that's wrong.
That's wrong.
You know the best one? I was at a corporate function once and they do the alternate drops. And you get your every other meal, you get your every other dessert.
Yeah. All right. So chicken beef.
It sounds so ghetto because a drop is when you kind of... Yeah.
You sound so modern.
Yeah.
I was thinking
where I come from, drops are waiters with dessert.
I was thinking more French resistance, so I was in a totally different
place. That's right, World War One.
I know, you do a drop on the dance floor. Yeah.
But anyway, my dessert was a creme brulee, and then the next to me, the other one was a chocolate cake. And I'd never had creme brulee before, but I was aware of it, and I knew that you were to crack the sugar shell with the back of the spoon.
Yeah.
But I came in a little bit sledgehammery, and I slammed into my creme brulee, which then squeezed it. And it just blew out of the bowl straight onto the chest of the corporate guy sitting next to me.
I love that.
And he very calmly, with his spoon, took a little bit off the lapel of his jacket, ate it, and went, I knew this was the better one.
That's class,
that
right?
Classy. Really
that's
really
class. So, classy. So here's my question anyway. What are your various anxieties and what are they called? Why don't you go first, Colin?
Oh, okay. Well, this is a common anxiety.
Just before he starts, I would like to say that one of my biggest anxieties is how will I react to Colin's song? I call it Buchanophobia.
Yeah. And it's funny because one of my biggest phobias is how Tommy will react.
United Nations.
Whereas Manny, I don't feel anxious.
I'm not judging you. I come from Mullumbimby. Like I'm just. I'll talk about you in the car.
It's a long way home.
But it is an electric vehicle, so I only get 200 kilometres.
It's going to be good, though. Hold on, I'm going to put my smile on.
Oh, no, that's all right. No one forced to buy.
That's going
to
be good.
It's ironic that this is the subject matter. I woke up early again. It's been hard to sleep. Trying to juggle the balls to stay on my feet. And I'm checking the news and I'm breaking a sweat. Do I want a Mins or a pair of Tet? I'm putting on weight. I ought to call my mum. I don't know what I have or haven't done. And if that wasn't bad enough, I need a song for TGI. I haven't come up with anything yet. All I got is a ballad, and Tommy says in comedy, slow songs are hard to land.
It's true. It's totally true.
No, I probably could have hit the mark. Yeah, just parody MacArthur Park. But Richard won't be happy if this crappy song is all he gets. Hell yes, I'm stressed. Cause I need a song for TGI. I don't like Friday.
Ooh. That's nice.
I'm afraid Joseph from Rosella's got the best joke of anybody. He says, "Isn't on the text? Isn't the fear of death similar to range anxiety?" It is. Tommy, what's your anxiety?
I have a great fear. I've mentioned this many times. I got that sort of, F-post anxiety. You know, when you just, everything's card-based now, so.
Yeah. You've got a full trolley, you mean?
Yeah, full trolley, but it's through the day. It used to be, planned for one thing. I knew I had enough to get the groceries, but now I've filled up the car with petrol, which I couldn't budget for because the price changed three times while I was at the pump.
Yeah. What do you think? I'm buying a submarine?
Yeah. It's crazy. And then I had to go to, then you get your groceries, and then maybe you got lunch for the kids, and then you got all the little transfers. So the kids are like, Dad, can I get some money for lunch? And, boop, 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 doop. There goes some money. Boop, 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 doop. There goes some money.
You're the dupe.
I'm the dupe. So duped.
I hate that dupe. Do you remember when we used to have to borrow money off our parents and you'd ring them up and then they'd get a lecture about, I would never borrow money off my parent, and then they'd have to go to the bank and get money out, and 3 days later, by the time it went through, you'd had a job.
Yeah.
And have lost it.
Yeah, exactly. And now it's like at a 3 a.m. call to put money in the bank, and I realise it's for Uber Eats.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, that's always what it is.
Yeah, it's always something like that.
Yeah, and then suddenly you're like, wait a minute, didn't you get a bunch of money for your birthday? Oh, yeah, but I'm not spending that on Uber Eats.
What? Wow.
I'm spending your
money.
So
their view is you have to feed them at whatever price.
Yeah, at whatever price.
That is. It's an anxiety.
All the time. I'm constantly getting that. Oh, by the way, remember how you said you'd buy that thing? I don't remember that. Yeah. I don't remember that. And the worst is when I've never been hacked, thankfully, knock on wood, but my daughter knows my password to my Amazon account, and I have noticed a few things that I wouldn't normally order, which are surprising me on my bill. Hey, Tommy, do you want some more earrings?
And I went, hey.
More? More? But they do match that skirt that I picked up last month.
What a dupe.
That I can't wear in the wind.
What's your anxiety, your version of range anxiety, Mandy?
I guess my version is, I used to go to a thing with the kids that I was, because I've got five kids, and I was worrying that, I don't know, that I had
you're
too many.
That you had, well, you
I thought did. I should have another one. No one wanted to be the last kid, and I was worried that I left one and the next one and the next one. And I did worry about that, but then I worried that they weren't doing enough activities because I went, am I a bit slack? Because I just didn't like turning up to school things and meeting other parents very much. And so I did actually slack off on some of the activities. Mm. There's too much participation from the parent point of view. But
can't you say I've got five? This is ridiculous. I can't come to everything.
I know.
I've got five.
Exactly. I used to just drive past the school and beep on sports days. and go, off you go. I get anxiety when I know it's such a stereotype, but I have got a bit of a cushion addiction. I counted the last cushion audit I did. I have like 122 throughout the
cushions.
Past. Yeah, that's not pillows.
These are throw cushions.
Yeah, throws.
Yeah.
Yeah, and throw is just a descriptive word, not an actual imperative thing to do with the cushion. I get very upset when my husband does throw it. And I get this anxiety that I'll see a cushion and I'll get this feeling like, oh, I should get that cushion. And then I have to go, what do I do with all the other? Like, you can't get onto the couch or the bed because the cushion situation. It's like I'm going to have to go on some sort of, like, you can't even
but
get a patch.
But is this like the same? It feels like the same anxiety to me. Patch. Like, you know, you don't want, who's going to be the last child, so who's going to be the last cushion?
I think you're right.
You don't want the last cushion to be the last cushion.
You're better than my psychiatrist. That's right. And the cushion is a bit like, isn't it?
Yeah.
If I've got the cushion underneath my dress, I'm literally having the last child.
I would think that would be the anxiety.
So shouldn't you say to the youngest child, darling, you're definitely not the last. Look at mummy.
Look at mummy.
And with
the
cushion.
It.
Nice.
Yeah.
And
like
that
it.
Would relieve their anxiety for at least a week or two.
Yeah. Is there something you do with the cushions that I'm missing with cushions?
Because it's just
they're just doing the cushion thing.
Yeah, you know, it's not about comfort. It's about I have to look at it's soft furnishing. Like it's soft and nice.
Mm. Do you like?
But how long does it take to get into bed? You have to take all the cushions off.
Yeah, when people come to stay, they often take photographs of the bed so they can reassemble it the next day.
Well, it is. I mean, that many cushions. It basically is a deconstructed beanbag.
It is like that, and it is too many. So I get a little bit, I try to decushion. Like I try to go, okay, it's become problematic. Like people are noticing. So I hide them in cupboards. And you open a cupboard and about 50 cushions.
My mom has a cushion fascination as well. But I send her cushion covers. Instead of more cushions, because then she can
save in mail.
Repurposes. Well, it becomes a new cushion, but not a new cushion.
Oh, that's like vaping to give up smoking.
Exactly.
I think he's just offered you help there.
Yeah. I really love that. Yes. You're like a therapist.
I'm trying really hard.
Can I ask too? Just there are textured sort of patterned cushions,
and then
there are the picture cushions. So which one is it? Picture or pattern?
No, it's all of them. Because you can't have all of the same one, otherwise it doesn't go. I don't know
you
why.
You haven't got Prince Harry or something, have you?
I'm very visual, and I do
Royal
like...
Royal wedding?
I like textures, I like things. I don't like pictures of...
Like owls.
No.
What's wrong with owls?
What's wrong with owls? I don't want owls.
Text us if you like owls.
I don't want eyes of an owl looking at me from a cushion in the bed.
That's quite the opposite. If I had 1,000 throw pillows, what would be cooler than a couple of like predators kind of sneaking up out of the bag? Barn owls.
The amazing thing is that at Mandy's place, it all started with a breeding pair. it's like the
exactly
ibises.
What it started
it's like the ibises.
Thank God it's Friday. Beware, if you have one breeding pair, you might end up like Mandy Nolan. By the way, Mandy's show, The Candidate, is at the Melbourne Comedy Festival from March 30. She's got a big season down there at the Melbourne Town Hall. So if you're down in Victoria, go and see it. Now, are you ready for the Wheel of Death, Mr. Tommy Dean?
Yeah,
let's go.
Sure.
Today's topics are Green Thumb, Ink Pot, Cubby House, Submariner's Life, Turntable, Revolving Restaurant, Wind, V8 Cars, Chip Butties, a heretic, falling in love, symbols, bad habits, four-leaf clovers. I guess that's a St. Patrick's Day reference. And we're back to Green Thumb, which fills you full of fear.
Who sent these suggestions in? I feel like your entire audience has gone to stupid school and graduated top of the class.
It was Peter Hatcher who sent them in.
That's really good. That
round
like,
and round and round it goes. Where it
that
stops.
Was very Paul Keating.
Nobody
again,
knows.
Tommy.
For St. Patrick's Day, it's come up, the four-leaf clover.
Doesn't
there
exist.
Go.
It's a myth.
Four-leaf clover.
It's a myth.
I found one.
It's not a myth.
Turns out.
Welcome to Mythbusters. Mandy Nolan. We've got Mandy Nolan, the first finder of a four-leaf clover. And you know what she won? A baby and a cushion.
It's not a myth. They exist.
No, of course they exist. of course they exist. Clover is like snowflakes. Everyone unique, but mostly the same when you pack them up. You know, like a bale of clover, really hard to tell apart. But, you know, individually.
Sure, but if you find a four-leaf one, you're lucky, right?
That's what they say. The question is, what is your life that you're searching for clover?
Mm.
That's what I would ask. Where are you? Where are the clover fields?
Yeah.
That's a terrible, horrible, scary movie, now that I said that
loud. Or a song by Colin Buchanan.
What? Oh, that song. I remember that song. Yeah, that's right.
The clover field.
Of Mullumbimby.
Of Mullumbimby. Oh, near the Cushion Mines.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I do like the idea of Cushion Mines.
Yeah, yeah, I excellent. Love it too.
It's because it's not bad work.
Yeah.
That's the thing.
Yeah.
You know, like most of the, yeah.
Do you have clover in Australia?
Yeah.
How long since you've seen a lawn?
Not long. Not a clover lawn. Like we used to have them in the fields. Like my grandparents.
So taps.
Dairy, we had a clover.
You got them?
We had a clover patch, and we used to, you know, we not only search for four-leaf clovers, we would search them by the light of fireflies that we had trapped in a mason jar, and they were our lanterns. So that was what was supposed to be even more lucky, is if we used the back-end life force of a series of insects nice. Magnified
wow.
through the moonshine of moon, I mean, of a
the
mason
bottle.
Jar.
Yeah, the mason. Did you have a rabbit's foot going for you as well?
Yeah, because that, you know, but we were young enough, yet still smart enough to know that there was a hypocrisy that somehow a dead rabbit's foot was lucky for you, but certainly not for the rabbit.
No.
We were well aware of that hypocrisy. That couldn't be lucky. We also used to carry crow's feet with us, because crows always know where they are. So if you ever got lost, you would, you know, get out your crow's feet necklace and wave them around. Hmm. Because, you know, directions are always given where I came from as the crow flies. You know, you would just follow that way. But the lucky clover, I don't remember ever finding a single one that had four leaves. I don't know what genetically would separate that apart. It was quite easy, I found, with Elmer's glue. like I had an entire, I used to call it the luck of the Irish, was a diorama that I did for third grade where I glued together an entire field of four-leaf
clovers. Yeah.
And then in the backdrop was the crow's foot and the rabbit's foot to remind him of the hypocrisy of life.
Yeah, what a beautiful way to celebrate St. Patrick's Day.
Hmm. I think if you'd found a four-leaf clover but couldn't remember it, I think it would debunk the myth.
Yeah.
Surely you would say... there's someone living in Darling Point who goes, actually, now I remember it. Mm. I did find a four-leaf clover.
And that's why I'm a multimillionaire.
Yeah. Exactly. And my life.
I found a lot of lucky pennies.
Did you?
Yeah, yeah. Lucky
and
pennies.
What distinguishes the lucky penny?
Face up.
Ah.
Yeah, yeah. If you got Lincoln staring at you, lucky. Face down, well, that's how Lincoln ended up. Unlucky.
Yeah. Okay.
You want positive parallel universe Lincoln where he decided the theater was a stupid thing to do.
How rare is a four-leaf clover? We have this from the internet. A quick Google search says the odds of finding a four-leaf clover on your first try is about 1 in 10,000. But a 2017 analysis of 5.7 million clovers over six countries suggests your chances are closer to 1 in 5,000.
Wow, I'm surprised they don't have it at Crown Casino.
Your chances of finding
their odds are much lower.
Go put it together. Put your lucky pennies in the lucky clover poker machine.
Thank God it's Friday. Does he die? Does he live?
I told you, I found one.
He's lucky.
How do you think I got to be on this show?
Exactly.
Yeah, it's all like.
Just imagine how bad things would have been if I hadn't have found one.
The person who gave their name to the Fosbury flop, the American athlete Dick Fosbury, has died. What are the various moves that you make?
Just so we're clear, there is a very good reason we didn't call that move the Dick flop.
I did think that. I went, that's the best name for.
That's right.
For that move. That's exactly what
it looks
like.
In another time, in another place.
In another place. Because if you think about how it presents itself,
it's exactly the
same. It was exactly the same.
Yes.
It would have been much more appropriate.
Quite descriptive. Exactly.
They'd only show the high jump after
9:30. It makes a similar noise on the mat.
Only a person with as many children as you would know that, Mandy.
I know that noise.
Oh, that's that noise. That's the sound of.
The Frosbley.
Sorry, Richard, sorry.
What are the various, here's my question, what are the various moves
getting to the point.
That you make that deserve to be part of the language with your name attached, Mandy Nolan?
All right, I have what's called the Nolan nudge, and it's ever since, I don't know, when I hit 50, I stopped looking behind me when I reverse park because it doesn't change the outcome. So I don't use it.
Genius.
So what I can tell, and the cameras, I've got a camera, but... it's always, I kind of don't believe it. Yeah. And so I'll feel that, you know that feeling when you touch another car, but you don't, haven't hit it, but you've nudged, it moved.
Yeah,
like you've moved it.
And that means you've hit it.
Yeah.
Technically.
That's when I go, okay, that's as far back as I can go. And I call that the Nolan nudge.
The Nolan nudge.
And then I drive off. Generally, I don't have a look because I don't think I've done anything.
And you probably haven't.
Never like a smash. Mm. It's a nudge.
It's a nudge. The Nolan nudge. What's Dean got?
I got the Tommy Tada. Because I have a little bit of drop foot. So when I walk, I occasionally get that little toe catch.
Yep.
On the all the little microbial bars that the life throws up. And it's just enough catch that your toe flips. It doesn't quite throw you down to the ground, but just enough to off kilter, and you got to take a little stumble step forward, and you know, because of my height, I stumble forward, and then as I catch myself and straighten, I pop up, and my arms sort of naturally up a little bit. Ta-da!
But don't you then, because if someone sees you doing it, it's embarrassing, right? So you then turn around and look at the bit of pavement as if to say, that's shocking. The council have left that in that state.
Yeah. Fancy that. What the heck?
But I've done it for so long. It's been a part of my life for so long that I prefer the ta-da. Just up,
ta-da.
And then when they look at you, don't look at just, what do you reckon? What would you score that?
I'm
like, why aren't you holding up 8.0?
Yeah.
Colin, what have you got? What have you got?
Tommy gave me one when I arrived at the 11th hour this afternoon. What was your one, Tommy? Was it the...
The Buchanan lateness,
because I thought of it using my first name, collation.
Oh, okay,
nice.
Yeah, because
nice.
I've been practicing being
colonoscopy
late.
Colonoscopy,
well, I was waiting for that.
Sorry.
I thought about it, and I just couldn't bend it into shape. But and also the colinga. That's when I don't just hang around too long and I'm always the last to leave and just...
late to arrive, late to leave.
And putting things off, the bucastination.
No, that's the best one.
I had a lot of coughing as a baby, so I had bucolic.
Yeah. Oh, that's good. I was campaigning with the Greens trying to stop coal and gas. So from, you're quite, yeah.
Or, in fact, Colin's gas would be.
Colin's gas. I finally met you.
At last!
Hey, everyone, Richard has a question.
Because we're running short on time.
You've got to assert
yourself. This is the election soon, and we have all sorts of parties representing various groups, farmers, workers, shooters, greenies, dope smokers. So what's the underrepresented group that needs a political party? What's the name, the slogan? And the policies. Colin Buchanan.
I thought of one for children because they're neglected. I mean, obviously the policy, policy is... I thought the Arty Farty had a party. And their slogan is, Arty Farty had a party, all the kids were there.
Yeah.
Tutti Frutti did a beauty and they all went out for air. And it's just...
it's good, isn't it?
There's colouring in books, there's jumping castles, it's just...
It's a good
for
poster
for
outside the school.
It's a good poster.
Yeah. And I'm going to put the bumper sticker on my car.
And they've done the research, and the seven-year-olds, they love it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So they don't have the vote. That's the only drawback.
Well, that's a mere technicality.
Mandy Nolan, who's your political parties that are underrepresented?
Well, I have to say, the underrepresented group out there, a lot of the political parties are really clearly men. So it's some of the more female-dominated interests. I'd call my party, instead of shooters, fishers, whatevers, I'd call it shoppers, Facebookers and cushion collectors.
Cushions!
Yeah, I'm looking at the cushion back. And what the government would do, instead of giving $400 to kids, you give $400 to middle-aged menopausal ladies to buy cushions.
To spend money on cushions.
Yeah, and if we buy them, put that $400 cushion in and we put extra cushion money in, they'll bank it up each year.
They'd just say the government's going soft, wouldn't they?
That's the policy.
Tommy Dean, who's your underrepresented political party?
The good people of the cafe world, I just think we finally need a coffee-sized unification party. Yes. I just want a simple, small, medium, and large. If you want to get in the edge of the jumbo, I'm fine with that. But I want small, medium. The problem is the coffee run. So I send the people out at our office going out, I always get a large. Could I please have a large, please? And they come back with what I deem a medium.
Yeah.
But then they're like, well, that's what the coffee shop said was large. Yeah. Did you mean you wanted a jumbo? No, jumbo sounds stupid. Yeah. I wanted a large.
So this is like that moment when Victoria and New South Wales got the rail gauges and equalised them. It's the same sort of idea, isn't it?
Standardisation. Simple standardisation to make society easy to trans.
verse.
Yeah, it's going to be good. Who were the winners and losers of the week?
Oh, boy.
Colin Buchanan.
I thought the winners was the National Park because they brought the wood chipper in the day my grandson came.
Oh.
And he's obsessed with machinery.
Oh, yeah.
So it's just like, we were just out the back.
Yeah.
He was just like...
We had a digger in our street,
there
mate.
There you go.
Pulling down at someone's fence.
Awesome.
That's it was the best thing.
Heavenly.
And my little boy went down and said to the bloke, he said, "That's the bucket." And the bloke said, "Yeah, you're right. That's what it's called. Do you want a job?" And I said, "He's only two.
He's a genius. It's his grandfather. Yeah, that's what makes it.
It's his only interest, though.
Yeah. I think the loser is the blue ring octopus. It just needs to build the brand. You know, like it's just in terms of poisonous animals, it's been forgotten. And it's got it like snakes, spiders, even platypuses are ahead of the blue ring octopus. And
just get a rest, blue ring octopus. Mandy Nolan, who are the winners and losers?
Loser is the company who employed the woman in America who took 3 lots of maternity leave pretending she was pregnant. And
what did she have? What did she have under a T-shirt?
She had a cushion. She had a cushion under there. And what happened? They found out. She got 3 lots of maternity leave too. She did it 3 times. I think that was awesome. And then they're making her pay it back. The winner I have as the Petition Bolo. There was a good story today.
Mm.
And they've taken the pokies out and put music in 16 years of running.
And turnover has gone up.
It's gone up 700%.
Tommy Dean, quickly.
The winner is, of course, AFL is back. So excited. Started last night with a thrilling draw. You don't hear that in America. Only in Australia can you get a thrilling draw. But the AFL season is back. Very excited about that. And the loser, of course, is those sad American kids that were just trying to have some fun with their drone in international airspace, and Russia came along and ruined it. Thanks for ruining it, Russia.
Thanks.
We're just trying to play with our drone gift, and you ruined it.
Thanks for nothing, Putin. Thank you for being part of Thank God It's Friday. Thanks to Tommy Dean, Mandy Nolan, and Colin Buchanan. Next week, James O'Loughlin, Gretel Colleen, and Tommy Dean. Music from the show The Divine Miss M. Until then, I'm Richard Glover, and thank God it's Friday!